Well, good evening, everyone. This is Evan Blanchard. Glad you could join me this evening. Going to spend some time here in the second chapter of Samuel, second book of Samuel, chapter 3. And I'm excited once again to get into the Word of God here and take this journey through the Word of God, because there's no greater walk than when you pull open the pages of the Word of God and you begin to see the cross of Christ, when you begin to see the sinfulness of man and his rebellion and his wicked heart is laid bare on those precious pages of the Bible, and you begin to see the redemption of God, when you see men and women just hear and believe, and though they were once enemies, and though they were once defiant, and though they turned their back upon the way of the cross, you begin to see the Lord move and never give up, and his mercy and his long suffering reaching out to them. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they just turn. Their heart just is touched, and the stone heart is turned to flesh, and the dry, barren land is watered once again, and that person begins to believe again in what Christ has done at the cross. And all their waywardness and all their failure and all their shame is just put away as that individual in the mind of God is crucified with Christ, buried, put to death, and then raised in newness of life. That's the power of the cross, and that is the power that the church has foolishly thrown away, lustfully going after other ideas and techniques and ways that they can try to herd their people into living a better life, or going into righteous living, or trying to bring their condition to their position, and all sorts of things that, you know, just aren't found in the Word of God. But when you really look at the Word of God and you study it, what you find is people justified, people sanctified, people changed and brought into a covenant relationship with the Lord just by simple faith in what Christ did at the cross. There was no fancy thing that they had to do. It was just simply hearing again. It was just simple, the preaching of the cross coming to them to hear and to believe and to see the power of God as they actually began to look to what Christ did at the cross and forsake all other avenues that portrayed itself as being of God. And you know, one of the things that I heard for a long time and years ago is the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and the ministers there would preach. And they would talk about how, you know, you don't have to mention the cross, you don't have to mention the baptism into his death every time you preach. And you know, they would have these camp meetings, and they were allowed to go back, and if you just want to talk about, just tell your people about Jesus, that's fine. And I remember it was confusing to me as I was beginning to understand this message. And I remember looking into the Word of God. I remember going and reading the Levitical law through Exodus and Leviticus. And I remember something hit my heart. And it was this. It was, yeah, you know, you don't have to just tell people put faith in the cross. You don't have to mention the blood and the baptism into his death every time. And I kept thinking that as I looked at that tabernacle, and I began to just look at and study it, and I thought, that's like saying the Israelite could go to the tabernacle and he never had to look at the brazen altar. That was like saying I went to the tabernacle today and I didn't even see the sacrifice, and I didn't even see the blood poured out from the lamb's throat. I didn't see the bullocks and the goats, and I didn't see any of that tossed upon the coals of the brazen fire. And I thought, my gosh, the reason why they went to the tabernacle was for the brazen altar. The reason why there is a church is so that the cross of Christ could be preached, so that the work of Christ could be declared, and the work of man can be pushed away and thrown into the dung pile where it belongs. And, you know, we lost hope in this message, because I tell you what, something that has hit my heart for a while now was when I began to look at the ending of Saul and the rise of David. And when those Israelites brought the bones of Saul back and they buried him in the dirt and they patted the shovel upon the dirt, it was done. Saul was taken away. The problem was self. The problem was us. And God's got a plan. that he can put you to death and yet you live. As the Apostle Paul declared, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that live. And if God can do that, if he is able to be able to put me away and yet keep me alive and save me forever, is there anything this God can't do? Is there anything that his arm falls short of? Well, absolutely not. But oh, we have lost it. We have looked for some other way and avenue when the power all the time has been sitting in the death of Christ. Just believe again. Just hear it and believe and know that the preaching of the cross to those of them that are perishing is foolishness, but unto us that are being saved, it is the power of God, the power of Almighty God, that you could believe again. You could just hear Christ and his death on the cross is enough for you. I tell you what. Oh, they've made a mockery. Oh, the church has made a mockery of that precious death of our Savior. And I just was listening to some music right before I began to speak, and I could just feel it resonate in my bones. Why would I ever talk to a group of people concerning the gospel or concerning Jesus Christ and not mention his death and the need to have faith in that? How could I ever tell somebody and not bring up the fact of the shed blood of the Lamb, and that was all that they ever needed? Wasn't that all that Israel ever needed? My gosh. You know, yeah, sometime out in the field, the Israelite might have met somebody, but sooner or later, he would have had to walk them to that tabernacle, and that person would have looked and saw all the flags of all the tribes of Israel would point to the centerpiece, which was the tabernacle, and there was a brazen altar, and it was sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, day and night, night and day, and the brazen altar burned hot, and it never went out, and it was never famished, and my gosh, a continual basis that there was one answer for us all, the death of Jesus Christ. You know, and the Lord said, I didn't come to destroy or abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill it, meaning that how it was structured in the sense that people would have to come and hear again what he did at the cross, that it would have to be a necessity in the life of the believer, that, oh, people can think they know the cross and they don't have to hear it again. Oh, they can listen to other messages where the cross isn't declared or talked about or taught, but I don't know what else to teach in the Word of God. I don't know what else to tell somebody who's only got 50, 60 years on this earth that they're lucky. What else would I tell somebody when they're standing on the thin ice of eternal hell? What else would I say to somebody? I would tell them about the blood of Jesus. Believe in that and you'll be saved. Gloriously saved from hell. The Lord said, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. It's all based upon the fact, the knowing that there is a holy God. And if you don't come by the blood of the Lamb, then you don't come at all. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear anything else coming from a pulpit than, dear sinner, you got to listen again. You got to hear it again. You stray. You go here. You go there. You're moved. You're pushed around like all kinds of winds of doctrine. It's time to believe again in what he's done at the cross. It's time to forsake everything else and just listen and believe that his death is enough. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I want to get into the Word of God here because the Word of God will declare everything we ever need to know. And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, or if you're listening and just hang in here and hopefully I can enunciate and talk. 2 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to start here in verses 17. This is right after the previous message that I had where Michael was coming back to David. And this next two sermons I'm going to preach on Abner. And this first one is called, that I've called is Abner Part 1, The Foe has Come to the Feast. And this is, I will set this up here after I read it, but let's leave the word of God first. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to spake in the ears of David in Hebron, and all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thy heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we need some help for you to come and bring the preacher, God, the Holy Spirit, to bring the counselor, the edifier, the evangelist. Lord, you would bring the power of the Holy Spirit again, and you would utter things that, Lord, that simple men and women can understand. That, Lord God, you would proclaim your gospel of what Jesus has done at the cross, that we would hear it. Lord, that you would declare it with clarity and pristine, that, Lord God, we need some help to understand your word, understand the cross of Christ. Why it's so important that it's taught, that it's lifted up, and that we have to believe in it. Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the reason why I call this The Foe Comes to the Feast is that Abner is a beautiful picture of every one of us. And I mean every one of us. He is going to be a man that, well, we'll go through kind of a little bit of his timeline here. And before I head back there, I just want to say that Abner at this point had told Paltiel to return. And now you'll see Abner begin to, his heart turn and yield unto David. And I don't know if you read much of it or studied much of Abner at all, and many people haven't. The interesting about Abner is that he was there. In fact, he was the person that Saul asked about when David slayed Goliath. And as Saul said, "Well, who is this youth?" And Abner said, I don't know. And Abner went and got David and brought him back to Saul. And if we stop here and just look at this for a second, what we'll see here is that Abner witnessed one of the greatest feats that any man had ever done. I mean, he saw the power of God through the shepherd boy slay the giant, and the Philistines, who were the one enemy that Israel could never conquer, they could never beat, they could never stop them. The giant was mocking them, and Goliath represented self. He represented the flesh, the thing that they couldn't get past. They needed somebody else to do this for them. They couldn't will, man can't will himself away. He needs the hand of God to do something, and God did that through what Christ did at the cross. There you find in the death of Christ the way, the gateway in which God can take sinful man and he can put him to death, and he can fulfill the justice against his sin. He can eliminate him all in all accounts and wipe away the slate completely. And yet physically, the animate being that is that man can still walk around. And the power of the cross is that it's a necessity for humanity and God to have a union. There has to be something that can deal with man's will, his evil self, and all that he is bent, and his natural bent to go against God. He has no holiness in him. He has no goodness in him. He is rotten to the core. And so the cross of Christ, as it was always in the Old Testament, and as was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross, is that there would be a place of justification. There would be a way in which that sinful man could come and he could leave differently than when he arrived. And it's an absolute mystery, and people struggle over this, but we have to understand that that tabernacle was not something that man did one time, but he continually did it. It was part of his life as an Israelite. And so whether he went one a day, 10 times a day, or once a year, or whatever it was, we knew that some point in time, as the man was out in the field, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would hit him, and he would go look on his flock, and he would find that perfect, spotless lamb. He would find the one without a broken bone, the one without a twisted ear, the one without a busted hoof, and he would walk that one out of his field and take it to the tabernacle, and there you would stare and look upon a man who would be a priest, and the relationship between the Israelite and the priest would really be nothing like we would think of. There would be no, hey, how's it going, Bob? How are the kids? There would be a man standing there in a bloody uniform holding a knife waiting to do the work that was required by the law of Moses. They were there for the propitiation. They were there to make a statement that we don't allow anything in. We don't just open the door and you can bring in any kind of broken, maimed, lamed thing you want. No, we're looking for something specific. We're looking for something distinct. We're going to tear away the flesh and look inside that animal, and it has to meet the requirement that God had, which is the perfection of Christ. And then we're going to take that perfection and we're going to lay it upon the brazen altar. And that sinner, that Israelite, that one with the bent and the wickedness, would turn his back as the sacrifice was accepted upon the brazen altar, and it was consumed in the fire, and as the smoke rang up to the nostrils of God, it looked at that sacrifice and said, "This represents my son to come. Let that man walk away justified." Then in the mind of God, the two had become one. And that man walked away, and he didn't have to do anything other than just believe in what just happened. He just had to believe that that really was enough. And on his way back, he didn't have to do any quirky Christian things. He didn't have to work on disciplines on his way back home. No, he was justified in the mind of God. He was sanctified in the mind of God. He was as justified and as sanctified as he ever was going to be. It was fulfilled. It was done. It was completed work. And he could have rest. He could have peace. He could be thankful for the sacrifice of the Lamb to come. And as we come back to Abner, we look at this man, and he knew that David was the one sent by God to destroy the Philistines and to free Israel. He saw David, and as David slew the giant, it was a man and his work. It was representative of Christ and crucified. And as David looked at, or as Abner looked at that, we know shortly thereafter that when David and Saul, when Saul turns and drives David away, we find that Abner takes the empty seat that David left behind. And so Abner's not a guy that doesn't know anything. He's not a man that that is completely blind to the truth. This is a man who, with his own eyes, saw the power of God through the shepherd boy. And he, of his own will, decides to follow the path of Saul. Just like we talked about with Michael, he yields to the religious authority. He's the king. And instead of following David, which he would have known would have been the truth, he instead stayed at home. He stayed what he thought was the power. He lusted after what Saul lusted after. And together they shared this commonality where they hated David. Now, they hated David, they hated his work, and though he was the victory, and though he was the one that would truly release Israel from the shackles of the Philistines who represent the power of the sin nature, Abner didn't care. Abner was deceived, just like Saul was, and Abner stayed with Saul. He chose the way of the flesh. He denied the truth and stayed with the religious zealot of that day. Now, let me tell you something. There ain't nobody out there who's not an Abner. There's nobody out there that hasn't put this man's and wears the same shoe size that you wear. We've all been there. We've all done it. And I want to raise this up as we go through Abner, is that you've got to understand here. This guy was not a guy that he was handed the truth. He was handed the pearl of great price. He witnessed it. He experienced it. He had a testimony there. He beheld the power of God through David, who represented Christ. And yet he threw it all away because Saul looked the part. And Saul was the man, and Saul was the big guy on campus, and Saul looked like he was the one anointed by God. And Abner tosses it all away, and he throws his lot in with Saul. And then time goes by. And the next time we really hear about Abner is when he's in the trench with Saul. And David comes there, and he mocks Abner. David does. He laughs at him and calls him out as one who's supposed to be there defending his king and being on guard. And it's a type, as Abner is listening to David, as David is showing the truth of who he is and what he represents, that Abner's nothing, and all his boasting and all that he's ever done is absolutely garbage. And you know, you would have thought that at that time Abner would have gone, "What? I'm going to get out of the trench." You would have thought at that time, "Why am I in the trench with this guy? I should be over there with David." You would have think that right in that moment of time, he would have looked and saw that David was beginning to come back with power, and he had come out of the cave in his makeshift army, that God was working in that realm. But he still denies. He still denies David. He still denies the power of Christ and crucified. He still denies the need to have him in his life. He's content with staying in the dirty, filthy trench with Saul. He's content with staying in the sick cesspool of religion with the man that drove David away. He's absolutely has a choice to come out of the dirt and come out of the trench and follow the true one and the true way. And instead, he goes after the satisfies the heart of his own lusts, and he lays back down in the trench. And you know, despite the fact of all that Abner is, even after Saul's death, and even after Saul is put away, Abner doesn't let go. He still makes a contention for everything that Saul was. He still makes himself strong for the house of Saul. He's still determined to carry on the false message. He's still determined not to bend his knee to the work of David. He's not ready to throw in the towel. He doesn't want to break. He's still rebellious. He's still pushing away the work of Christ. He's still pushing away the pull of the Holy Spirit on his heart. I mean, does that not describe somebody tonight? Does that not describe you and I? He's still, after Saul's done and put away and David's coming back, there's still this part of Abner that says, you know what, I could still, this is still of God. Now you got to understand here. I mean, Abner's done it all wrong. He has done everything wrong, and I would encourage anybody to go back and read Abner's story. Just read from the beginning, since the time of David, and read up until now. And it's hard because that's a lot of scripture, and it would be here all night. But the great news thing about it is that, you know, the one thing about preaching the gospel and when you preach the cross of Christ is that there's such contention or so much content to say, you know what, go back and read the scripture and go back and look and see if you get the same thing that I'm saying. I'm so sick of I'm listening to the preachers of our time. They come up with stuff that's not even scriptural, that they make statements that are not even backed up by the Word of God. They're just freeloaders out there going on whatever they want to do, and they don't even want their people to look in it. They don't even want their people to carry it out. They don't want their people to go into the Word of God and really test it through the fire of somebody that wants to learn, and somebody wants to really know, is this guy telling me the truth? It's amazing to me. I was listening to a guy the other day, and I wish I knew his name. He was talking about the fact that he'd gotten something from the Lord. And legitimately, he's talking about that. I don't even think you probably won't find this in the Word of God. And I'm listening, and I'm laughing as I'm in my car driving to work. I'm laughing out loud. I'm like, this is just a clown show. This thing they call Christianity. It's just an absolute train wreck. I can't even believe. I couldn't even believe preaching the message or any message and telling people don't go to the Word of God and check it out. It's not in the Word of God. I mean, come on. The Bible is given so that we have a light. We don't have to follow the blind into the ditch. We don't have to follow gainsayers and charlatans, and we don't have to be Abner's wandering around following Saul into the trenches of religion and self-lust. You know, we actually can pick up the Word of God and ask the Lord to show us, and we'll see the work of Jesus Christ. We'll see Christ crucified through the pages of the Bible. We'll see it. We'll know that know ye not those of you who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We'll know that he that is dead is freed from sin. We'll know it. We'll see the types. God will reveal it to us. And my gosh, we'll be free from the greatest shackles that the world has ever known, which is religion. Which is vanity and a complete waste of a man's time. Not only that, but my gosh, it is an absolute fireman's pole right down to eternal hell. I encourage you tonight, I go back and read the story of Abner and read the beginning and the end, because when you get to the place where he finally comes to David, that's what makes it so glorious. That's what makes his story up to this point so amazing, is that this guy is as far away from God as a man can get. I mean, he's like the Apostle Paul. He's a persecutor of David. He is one that is against completely David taking over. He's fighting for something, some cold, dead religious thing. I mean, Saul's dead and gone and buried, and this guy's still holding on. He's still holding on. He's still trying to shove and hold forth that man Saul and everything that he did still had some shred of righteousness in it. And it takes a long time. And it took a while. But praise the Lord, the Spirit of God finally got Abner to break. Now, Abner also, as there was a clash between him, his men, and David's men, a man named Asahel, Asahel, pursued Abner and ran after him and ran after him and ran after, and finally Abner stopped and drove his spear right through his fifth rib, and he murdered Asahel. And so this guy's the total package now, okay? He is a rebellion. He is one that has thrown away the truth. He is one that has backstabbed David. He has murdered one of his men. So he's a murderer. He's rebellious. He's the total package. I mean, he is an enemy of God. He's an enemy of the cross. He's an enemy of the gospel. He's an enemy of all that is good and holy. And guess what? That's your type. That's you and mine. That's the guy. That's the one that we can look at and go, wow, he's just like me. We got the same shirt size. It fits perfectly. I can wear his coat. I can wear his shoes. Me and Abner, that's the one that I look at when you have to look at yourself. And this is the thing that breaks my heart, is that this message has been accused of being a message that was a downer to people, and that it was a message that had no life to people. And I just don't understand that, because just because the preaching of the cross declares the powerlessness of man's flesh and who he is, does not mean it has no power. It does not deem it powerless. It really is, excuse me, the very power of God. If you understand your vileness and your wickedness and your position that you stand before a thrice holy God as one is guilty on all accounts, then my gosh, you're going to look at the cross of Christ and say, yes, because it's the answer to my life. It's the answer to my problem from beginning, from day one, since I came out of my mother's womb. I was the issue. I was the reason why. I was the cause of all pain. I was me. I'm the problem. And this great, beautiful message puts me away, and yet I live. I'm crucified with Christ, and yet I live. I am baptized into the death of Christ. And Saul is put to death. And when Saul's dead, and when Saul's buried, and when Saul's in the ground, then David can come in and take over. Then David can come in and reign. When I'm done, and I'm put away, and I'm out of the picture, then Christ has the right to be reign again in my life. Israel's greatest day was when Saul was done, when they took the flesh, when the prophet Samuel told them, this is not the one. And they said, we don't care. Give us Saul. And the Lord said, fine, let them have the run. Let them sit under the flesh. Let themselves run the gamut for a while. And they found the pain and the suffering, as they could never stop the power of the sin nature represented by the Philistines. It drove them. It crushed them. They warred against it every day of their life. Saul could never beat it. Saul could never destroy it. And eventually he finally is put down by the power of the sin nature. But when that man's done, and when they put his bones in the dirt, representative of when somebody is crucified with Christ, they are put in the dirt and they are buried and they are put away, free at last, free at last, great God Almighty, free at last. David could come in, and the power of God was allowed, because you can't have two kings. You can't have the spirit and the flesh both ruling. One's got to go. And God said, well, they can't do it on their own. There's no way they can do it, because they're corrupt from birth. So I got a plan that I'll send one who from the beginning of, came out of the Virgin Mary's womb. His life would be perfect. There would be no guile. There would be no wicked thought. He would follow my word. He would fulfill all the laws. He would fulfill all the Psalms. And when he would die on that cross, those corrupt beings, those enemies, my foes, those that are against my righteousness and holiness, they could look and live. I could tell them about what I did. I could send my spirit down from heaven and it could cover the globe. And if I told them about what my son did on the cross, and if they look and they believe in that, they'll be free at last. But don't you see what the Lord has to do? He's got to get people to come off the high horses. He's got to get people to finally recognize and own who they are. He's got to get people to finally shred off the facade that they've got a life or a regiment that God likes. They've got to get away. They've got to become an Abner. They got to look at themselves and go, oh man, I've not been for God. I'm not one that loves him or follows him. I haven't sought him out. I haven't gone after him. I'm the guy that's done everything I can to buffalo my own way. But it doesn't matter. The good news is this: it didn't matter whether you tried or you didn't try or where you're at. It doesn't matter, because the call is going out to all. The clarion blow of the trumpet that says it is the year of the Jubilee. It is done. The sacrifice is gone. The high priest has gone, and he's gone into the holiest of holies, and he has brought his own blood, and it God has accepted the offering of Christ. It is the year of the Jubilee. It is the time where mankind can look and live, hear and believe. And he doesn't have to run around in circles. And he doesn't have to listen to people that tell him, don't go looking in the Word of God because you won't find it. No, he'll look in the Word of God. And when God preaches him the cross, he'll go to the Word of God, and it will confirm in his heart that yes, yes, I will believe again. And here's a guy who's the greatest enemy of David. He's the biggest advocate against David's return and taking over Israel. And all of us, somewhere through it all, the Lord starts to work on Abner's heart. Somehow it begins to break. There's an erosion that happens within this man's heart, and the rock and the stone and that which held fast to the old way that Saul had built, it finally began to release it. He finally let go. Abner finally said, I'm letting go of it all. And it was confirmed when Faltiel, Michael's husband, came after Michael crying. And when Abner said to Faltiel, go, return. It was like it was the last thing, the last work of Saul that still resonated in Israel. It was one of the last things that Saul still left behind, was the fact that David's first wife still was in a false covenant and married to a fraud. And Abner's knew this, and Abner would have known that Saul would have wanted this. And you see at that moment when Abner tells Baltiel to go return, it was as if Abner began to believe. And whether it was great faith or whether it was small faith, it didn't really matter. It was faith. He began to look to David and acknowledge that David really needs to be king. Christ and his work really needs to be first. It hit him, because that, what you have to understand here, that Abner died that day. All that he did all that he did for Saul, all that he was, his position in Israel, all the time that him and Saul did this, and all the time that him and Saul did that, everything that they did together, Abner acknowledged it was all vanity at that moment in time. You have to understand that Abner looked at everything that his Christian life was and everything that he had accomplished in the house of Saul, and he finally said it was all for naught. It was all dung. It was all for nothing. He died, and yet he lived. The old Abner was put away. He was gone. There was a new Abner standing there that day. As it picks up in verse 17, and all of a sudden, Abner is saying, the light's just shining on this man. The flame of justification by faith and the truth was setting this man free. He's telling Paltiel to leave, and he goes to the elders of Israel and says, well, you saw it for David in times past for him to be king over you, and I was probably the biggest hindrance along the way. And then he says in verse 18, well, now go do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, you know, you wanted him in times past, but yeah, I was the guy that told you you shouldn't do it. And yeah, now go do it, guys. It's just amazing. Here's the greatest enemy of David, and now he just transforms into the greatest advocate for him. It's just amazing, the power of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what did this guy do? I mean, he didn't have to go. He didn't have to be churched out for months. He didn't have to go through some sort of religious training here. I mean, this guy needed to understand that all that he was needed to be put to death. It was over. It was a new king. It was a new living way. He had a brand new faith that day. It no longer was him. It no longer was his flesh. It no longer was some religious thing. It was now just David. It was just David. He was the one that did the work. He was the one that had the right, the claim to say the victory. He was the one, and Abner finally believed it. I love this. I don't know why. I just keep reading this thing over and over, and it just makes me laugh. Well, you saw it for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. The Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Let's praise the Lord. I tell you what, this message is so beautiful. I just keep reading this thing over again. It just finally, light bulb hits this man's heart. And it's just like he's standing there going, guys, just go do what you always wanted to do. I was the buffoon that said there was a different way. I was the guy that said there was a different approach to this, but no, you sought for David in times past. Now go do it. He's the one that will save us from the hand of the Philistines. All right, guys, we have to realize this isn't the guy. This is Abner. This is one who was Saul's right-hand man. He was as close to Saul as anybody. He was as thick into the religious nonsense as anybody was. And now he is one that is standing and proclaiming the truth that God has said, David will be the one that saves us from the power of the sin nature. It will be this man as he represents Christ and what he'll do at the cross. Abner now all of a sudden has got a new spirit moving in his heart. He's got a new message. He's got a new life ahead of him. He now sees that this is indeed the truth, the way, the life. And he's free at last. He's shaken off the shackles of Saul. He's released himself from the power of self and all that he dragged with him for all these years. The stony heart and the rebellion and the wickedness and the guilt as a murderer. He just dropped off a backpack of bricks. He was free at last. What did he do? Oh, he just believed that David was the one. He just said, yeah, it's him and what he did. It ain't nothing about me. It ain't nothing about Saul. It ain't nothing about Noah. No, it is David and what he did, typifying faith and what Christ did at the cross. It's just amazing. Oh my gosh. I preaching this message and just seeing it in the Word of God, it's just like a mole coming out of the hole, man. It's just, wow, it's the sun. It's something bright. It's glorious. Oh, preachers, why would you not preach the cross? Why would you not tell people about what Jesus has done? Why would you do church any other way than what the way it was done in the old path of just the sacrifice there in the center of all, that all would behold, young and small? Oh no, we gotta have a children's church. We gotta do it differently for the children. Oh, there was never a children's tabernacle. The adults didn't go to the brazen altar and the kids went over to the petting zoo. No, it was there for all to see. It was there for all to behold. And when Christ day, as he walked those streets, as he was carrying a cross and he was bloody, they didn't push the kids into the doors. They didn't put blinders over their eyes. They saw him and he hung there on old Golgotha's hill from the morning until the evening as a statement of God that my son has paid the price of sin. It's this bad. It's this horrific. But I answered it. Oh. Christ's death was public. Why is it not public in the church today? Why is there another Jesus? Why is there another way other than the way God did it in the beginning? Let the sacrifice be there. Let the young and the old see it. Let the sick and the rich and the poor and the fat and the skinny and the black and the white, let them behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Oh, Abner finally beheld it. Oh, and Abner, he goes to the, speaks in the ears of the Benjamites and to the whole house of Benjamin. This Abner is all of a sudden, he's preaching the cross. He's not telling them that, hey, let's find some common ground here. He's completely eradicated out of his own heart and mind that there was anything good in what he did before. That's the power of God. You know, you look at the move of the Holy Spirit, and as Jesus said, you adulterous generation, you always want signs and wonders. You always want some physical manifestation to happen to believe it's God. But I tell you what, when a person finally throws away and looks at their life and looks at what they did and looks at all that they've ever learned and goes, you know what? It didn't mean nothing. All that matters is that death that Jesus paid, that Jesus laid down his life. All that matters is what he did. And I am justified when I believe it. And I am sanctified when I believe it. And I'm redeemed when I believe it. And I am in the mind of God, one with him. You know, when that happens, the church doesn't really get excited about that. They don't really get thrilled about that because it's not some physical thing that took place. But you know what? You look in the Word of God and you look at Abner, it's just not a whole bunch of spiritual fireworks going off. Abner had power in Israel. He already had power. His message has changed. He was going in Israel from coast to coast, trying to raise men up to fight the fight of Saul. He was trying to raise an army to combat with David. And now all of a sudden, he ain't talking about Saul, and he's not talking about himself. He's talking about David. He breaks, and he lets David have all the glory which David deserves. And in verse 20, so Abner came to David. Abner came to David. Oh my gosh. Well, he was the worst of the worst, the vilest of the vile, most rebellious of them all. He's just like you and me. But despite it all, despite of being a murderer, a coward, and a persecutor, and a hater, and a transgressor, despite, he comes to David. He doesn't has no gift. He has no penance. No, he just comes to David. He just comes to David, and David prepares a feast. The foe comes to the feast. And I was reading this, and I just can't help but laugh. It was just like joy flooding over my heart and mind. I'm reading this. I'm thinking, this guy, he's got a lot of nerve, doesn't he? I mean, who does he think he is? He can do all that for so many years, hating David, and all of a sudden, out of this clear blue sky, he can just, I'm going to come to David. Oh my gosh, the church has made it so complicated. They made it so fuzzy and foggy, and people think that there is some sort of discipline that has to take place. You know what? I don't know about you tonight. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what makes sense to me. I'll just let Abner teach me the way, because he showed us the way. You know what? Hey, I've got a rap sheet that a mile long. I don't have anything to show. I don't have anything that's good. Abner is showing us how to be saved and remain saved. It just simply says, acknowledge what I am. I was going the wrong way, but guess what? Right now, I'm going to go to David. Because he's the one with the power. He's the one that's going to win. He's the one that's going to own it all. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He did it all. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the work. He's the one with the Spirit of God. I'll go to him. Praise the Lord. I'll just go to him. I'll just believe in him. What he did. I got to apologize tonight. I tell you what, it's just amazing to me. I tell you what, let the Abners come. Let all the Abners come. Let the sound the horn and tell them it's time to come to the feast. It's time. I mean, we're all enemies of the cross. We're all some shred an enemy of God. We've all got it. It doesn't matter. It's ourself. It's our flesh. It's our natural bent. We're corrupted. We're tainted by the curse of sin. But there's an answer. And Abner, he got it. He got it. It hit him. He heard the message and he believed it. And he gathered up the boys. They might have said, hey, what are we doing, Abner? You're going to go fight David with 20 people? No, we're going to go to him. We're going to lay it down. We're done. We're done fighting. We're done being at war. The beauty of the cross of Christ is that the Lord has a continual peace treaty sitting on the other side of the table for you and I to come and once again be at peace with God. That's why the Levitical offering, the peace offering was there. It symbolized that the cross would be a continual peace. There was an offering for peace. Well, if there's an offering for peace, then that means man and God are at war. Whoa, that's a shocker, right? I mean, the church can't accept that, not us. No, we're not at war with God. We love the Lord, and we have a heart for God. Yeah, well, you know what? The Word of God is saying otherwise. The reason why there's a peace offering is because you're at war with the Lord. But you know what? We're all Abners, and Abner showed us the way. And Abner's the great teaching of the Word of God is that it shows you, and then it shows you the beauty and the glory of the gospel. That you just come to the feast. You just come. You just say, oh my gosh, I'm wrong. Picking from bottom to top, it's all corrupt, but I'm going to David's house. I'm going to sit at the feast. I'm going to walk boldly to the throne of grace. I mean, this message of the cross is the power of God. What do you need in your life? What are you struggling with? What thing do you need God to do? The cross of Christ says, my gosh, I got the power to do it. The cross says, just believe. And Abner said unto David, I will rise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my Lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all thy heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. See, this is that right there is church. That right there is what it was always about. The foe comes to the David's house, and he leaves at peace. Came in as a foe, came in as a murderer, a killer, and a coward, and a transgressor, and used all the above. Oh, but he left in peace. And not only did he leave in peace, but the Spirit of God put it in that man Abner's heart. He was going to go tell Israel. He was going to go evangelize. He was going to go to the doors of the people of Israel and to the leaders of Israel. And he's going to tell them to make a league with David so that he can reign in their life, so the true king can come. He was going to tell them, well, hey, Abner, weren't you the guy that loved Saul? Weren't you Saul's right-hand man? I mean, it's amazing. Abner's almost like a prophecy of the Apostle Paul. He's going to be the persecutor, but all of a sudden he's walks away. The greatest advocate for David's reign. Now this is Abner part one, and the tragedy of Abner is that David's own peep men will kill him, and we'll get to that in Abner part two. But I just want to go back to something here before I end. Is that you can't ever not be Abner. And that's okay. Because the Word of God is saying, hey, Abner can come in. Abner, though all that he was, the Lord had an answer for him. The Lord had a way to bring Abner into a covenant of peace with David. Though they were extreme enemies, though they were on the different sides of the spectrum, as you are with Christ, the cross has allowed the way for you to be at peace with the Lord. The scripture says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Come, let's reason together. The reasoning table is the cross of Christ. It's the peace treaty that the Lord has laid down for humanity that says, come. Just believe in what I've done at the cross, and you'll go in peace. I don't know how your life is, but I tell you, my life, I could use some peace. I don't know how chaotic your weekly, daily, monthly ritual is, but oh, it's a great feeling to be at peace with the Lord. You can't put a price tag on that. It is, as the Bible says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is so beautiful. Just see it in the Word of God. The vile, wicked sinner just all of a sudden will walk out in a totally different state, a totally different identity, from foe to friend in a twinkling of an eye. Just in the matter of time to hear the preacher say, put your faith in what Christ did at the cross, I can go from foe to friend. That there, my friends, is power. That right there is the power of Almighty God. Well, I want to thank you tonight, and just go tonight free at last. Just let Abner be your coach, and let him show you the way here. And I appreciate the time that you've spent with me, and I hope you'll take this message. I really do. I hope the Lord will press it upon your heart to, my gosh, I hope you walk away a free man, a free woman. I hope you lay your head down at night and just lay your head down at night, and the anxiety of the world would slip away knowing that you're at peace with God. I just hope that you'll let the life that you've lived and everything that you've ever done just be put into the dirt as they buried Saul, and you know, the plan took care of it all. Go in peace tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.